You're listening to the Master Passive Income Podcast Network.
This is an episode pulling back the curtain on what it's really like to deal with the city. From Kafkaesque bylaws to rental board delays and double standards that leave both tenants and landlords stranded, we dive into the maddening contradictions baked into modern housing policy. I share a few stories, inspections that go nowhere, policies that help no end, and why the system seems rigged for dysfunction. If you ever felt like common sense has left the building, this is the one for you.
Welcome to the Real Escape Investing Podcast, where we guide you to escape the constraints of time, geography, and finance through real estate. And now, here's your host, Terry Schauer.
Hey, real estate fans, I have exciting news to share with you. Our monthly in-person networking events are back. If you're in the Montreal area, and even if you're not, go ahead and grab a ticket for our next event at equitybuildersclub.com/events. I would love to see you out.
Hey, real estate fans. So I don't typically like to use this podcast to vent, but that's what I'm going to do today because I want to have a serious call to action for everybody who is not voting in municipal elections to go out and cast your vote next time because the level of ridiculousness, for those of you who don't know the stuff that we're up against, it has reached real magnificent heights, if that's how you want to talk about it. So I'm going to just tell you a couple of stories of incidents that have happened recently that are going to illustrate just how silly and backwards a lot of the policies that are facing us are today. And a lot of this stuff that's like sort of like eco well-meaning or like got some kind of a weird agenda behind it that ends up putting rules and certain things in place really ends up having unintended consequences. And I want to just give you some insight into some of that. So I'm going to kind of tell you about three issues that we've had recently that are going to illustrate this. And then hopefully by the end of this episode, you're going to be lining up to go and do something about our municipal governments, because it's really becoming quite ridiculous. So the first thing that, you know, we've noticed in my property management practice is that we have more mice than ever before. And it's, you know, we've always kind of had mice. So I've been managing, you know, areas that are not always the cleanest of the city. And like once in a while, a building would get mice. But in the last 2 or 3 years, every single building almost has had mice problems. And for some reason, we just don't seem to be able to get rid of them. And so the final thing happened when we actually got mice in my own home. And so the backstory to this is that we have chickens in the yard and the chickens obviously eat chicken food. And then what does the chicken food do? But it attracts some of the mice. So we had mice in my home and it was like to the point where I'm sitting in my office working and like there's a mouse like running across the office floor in the middle of the day, or like I'm cooking and there's like mice running around the kitchen floor while I'm cooking. So like I was kind of freaking out about this. And so my husband went and like set some traps, like, you know, using his bare hands, and then we didn't catch any mice. So I thought this was a little bit weird because like, you know, at the cottage, we catch mice all the time with just like putting peanut butter or cheese in traps and they just run in there and get caught. So no problems. But then it turns out that mice in the city have become wise to those things and they can actually smell human hands. So just a little tip that if you're trying to handle mice yourself, you probably want to get some of those surgical gloves to set your mouse traps because the mice will smell you and then not come and eat the bait. But so when that didn't work, I called the exterminator. And so then like, as I was really freaking out, first of all, I found that the like extermination price was really crazy. The price for exterminations, just like everything else, has really gone up in recent times. And then I started chatting with the technician and I was like, you know, it's really weird. Like we're noticing as a property manager that like more and more of our buildings keep having mice. And like, I understand why I have mice here. I have chickens in the yard. So like, obviously that's attracting them. But like, I find it weird that now all of a sudden, like all my tenants have mice. And so what the technician told me was that actually in Montreal, the city now has bylaws that make the products that you can use in exterminating less toxic for the environment. And that you now can no longer put poison stations for mice outside of buildings. And so basically on the ground, what this looks like is that tenants are living with mice And us as property managers who are trying to get a handle on that situation, we are not able to control those infestations in the way that we were able to, because basically some of these like eco-friendly policies are making it that we can't use the products that actually get rid of the pests. And so if you can just see the catch-22 of this, you know, on the one hand, the tenants are losing their minds because they're upset that they have mice. And us who wants to, on the property management side, deploy resources to do something about that, we've basically been cut off at the knees with these well-meaning ecological policies that really make it extremely difficult for us to do our job and to give the tenants a sanitary place to live. So now, if this wasn't good enough, I want to now proceed to the next story, which has to do with a tenant of mine who I've recently been following up with. And the story of this tenant is that she's currently keeping 200 birds in her two-bedroom unit. And what you need to do to visualize this is to just visualize that you have an apartment where every single room is stacked floor to ceiling with bird cages. And in every single cage, there are like two or three birds. And so what goes along with this is the corresponding amount of bird food and mess and bird poop and everything that's going on inside the unit. And so that tenant has actually been with me for about 3 years. I didn't rent to them. I inherited them along with the building that I now manage. And so I just kind of turned a blind eye to this, even though I knew it was eventually going to cause a problem. But then when did I start to finally begin policing it is when some of the neighbors called me because there are now squirrels living in the back balcony. So as it turns out, when I put my nose into this, the tenant in question with 200 birds has been feeding the squirrels. So she had been then strewing peanuts all over the backyard to feed the tenant, to feed the squirrels. And now again, in keeping with the ecological policies of the city, you cannot trap squirrels in an inhumane way in a trap that would damage them in some way. You have to call the squirrel trapper. And what the squirrel trapper does is he places traps for the squirrels at $200 a squirrel. And then he relocates the squirrels to an environment that is probably more suited to them and is a more desirable home for those fluffy little creatures to go about their business unharmed. So I call the squirrel trapper and he comes and sets up traps in the backyard, which the tenant in question then proceeds to sabotage and open, releasing the squirrels after I have set about paying $200 to relocate each individual squirrel from my balcony. So I'm now frustrated and not able to trap the squirrels because my tenant is busy sabotaging the trap. But of course, it doesn't end there, because now as we have a mice problem, and as you are now aware, the entire city is infested with mites because heaven forbid we should use pesticides or, you know, poison that would kill the mice in an efficient way. So now that the city's overrun with mice, well, what do the mice do? Of course, they are very attracted to the bird food of the 200 birds who are living in this woman's unit. And so now the whole building has mice. And so what does Terry do? The good property manager then proceeds to set up a mice extermination, which is also going to cost several hundred dollars because this is a building with multiple families in it. And so the exterminator has to go through and preventatively inspect every unit and then set up traps wherever there are traces of mice. So what happens is that because I expect that this tenant is going to cause me problems. In the past, she hasn't allowed us to enter her unit because she's, of course, afraid that we're going to see that there are 200 birds in there. So I do my job, my due diligence as a property manager, give her the 24 hours notice that we're going to be entering her unit, and also inform her that I'm going to bring the city inspector with me, because if he's not there with us, I know that she's going to just not let us come in. So I deploy all of these resources. I go myself, the city inspector. The city inspector has a colleague who is his supervisor. I bring my property manager with me, and there we all descend to try and do this visit, of course, also with the exterminator. So now you can imagine that the clock is running on all of these different employees to go there. And then the tenant, of course, refuses us access. So even though I'm trying to deploy resources to get these pest problems under control, which are clearly caused by the fact that she's got 200 birds in her unit, I have now been frustrated. So I now have two options of courses of action. So my first course of action is to open a file at the TAL or at the rental board. Now, I know that for this kind of case, which is an extremely low priority on their hierarchy of important things, I'm probably looking at a 2-year delay. And in the meantime, I need to still keep deploying resources and spending money trying to do my futile extermination attempts, because if one of the other tenants in the building gets upset and complains to the city, well, guess who's going to have the injunction that's then punishable by a $10,000 a day fine for not acting on these pest problems? Well, obviously, it's going to be me. So opt not to do that at that specific time and decide that I'm going to take the path of going with forcing the city inspector's hand. And so I got the exterminator to write me a report that says that the tenant formally declined his access to the unit. So that then becomes a proof that she's not allowing us to go in. And then the city inspector also issued me an injunction that I have particular action items that I have to do to the building, you know, in order, because he doesn't communicate directly with the tenant, he communicates with me. And so by giving me that injunction, I then have pressure on me to act. So in his injunction, he ordered me to clean up the yard. So I'm now sending my landscaper to sweep up the peanuts in the yard that obviously I did not spread around the yard, but the tenant did. So there again is another bill that lands up on my doorstep. I then need to have the exterminator come in. And then I also need to, the tenant has erected all other kinds of stuff like tarps and stuff like that on the back porch. And so I need to see to the fact that that is removed with a certain time delay. So now, of course, the tenant doesn't respond to phone calls or go pick up letters. So then I've got to get the bailiff. I've got to write her a formal notice, send the bailiff $150. Boom, bailiff shows up. And then I can mobilize another day of all of the professionals. So the exterminator, myself, the property manager, the city inspector, who is now accompanied by the social worker. And so all of us now descend on the building. So you can now imagine that this is another $1,000 day, probably half of which is incurred on my side. And then the other half, which is paid for by our tax dollars at the city. And so I don't know what I'm really expecting, but I guess that I would hope that in a society, there is some sense of the fact that there's not a gross double standard, and that when I receive an injunction, that I have to get some kind of situation in a building under control, because that's really how it works. If you're a property owner and, you know, the city gets notified of some issues that have to do with health and sanitation, if there are pests, if there's something, a safety issue that might affect the tenants, well, then you're receiving an injunction. Typically, you'll have like a week or 10 days to deal with it. And then if you don't, the stick that's at the end of that is either you will get a fine that's punishable by like $10,000, or else the city will come and act themselves and then send you the bill. And so I guess I'm expecting that some similar kind of enforcement exists like this on the tenant who is at the origin of the problem of this, because let's face it, I'm not the one who is feeding the squirrels and then liberating them into nature. I am not the one who is keeping 200 birds and bringing mice into the building. So I'm expecting that there's going to be some kind of responsibility for the person's actions that's laid at their feet, and that it's not just going to be Terry, who does not have the tools at her disposal, who then has to police the situation and act in an environment where basically the doors to do anything productive are cut off at every single, I'm just cut off at the knees anytime I want to try to do anything. So then the city inspector comes and, like, he's, you know, busy shaking his head, but he doesn't have a whole lot of power to do anything except to send her a formal notice with a ticket. And of course, the ticket that she has to pay looks nothing like mine. It's not a $10,000 fine. It'll be something like a $500 fine if it's found that she is not diminishing the number of birds. And now I see that the social worker is becoming involved in this. And, you know, the social worker's comments on this matter start to be that, oh, well, you know, this is clearly a vulnerable person. Clearly something's not right in the head with her. And so we're going to have to get her to diminish the amount of birds that she has. And we have proof that she's contacted a shelter for the birds. And so therefore we're going to come back every three or four weeks to try to make sure that the number of birds is diminishing. Now, there is a bylaw, which is that a tenant is only allowed to have a maximum of 8 birds in their unit. There is no mention of that being enforced in any meaningful way, or there being any time delays that are given in a short manner that in any way resemble the kind of time delays that, you know, us as landlords are given whenever there's an issue like this that comes to the fore. And so, you know, here I am standing on the street corner being very, very angry about this and feeling like this is really a system that runs on two parallel sets of laws, one for people who are behave responsibly and, you know, pay taxes and actually have something to lose if ever, you know, there's some kind of a problem arises. Because what's the city going to do if I don't act? Well, they're going to potentially seize my building or go and take it upon themselves to act and then send me the bill, and all of that in a very short time delay. And independent of the fact, that there are all these other kind of measures in place that make it that I really cannot take the action that is necessary to bring some of this stuff to order. And then, of course, you compound this with our Quebec rental laws in which there is no damage deposit. So when tenants move out or when they create damages or do stuff like that, like you can't even, there's no damage deposit even for you to take. So basically, you're the one who's on the hook for going and fixing all of those issues, unless, of course, you want to open a court case and wait 2 years and then mobilize all of the energy that it takes to then go through seizing of bank accounts and mobilizing of bailiffs, which is also like thousands of dollars. And so it really, you know, begins to feel like this is a system that has two speeds. And so, you know, the other little bit of insight that I want to provide on you is to tell another story of something that happened to a client of mine, you know, where the city really came down on them very hard in a situation like this. So if you guys don't know what a silverfish is, I suggest you pause this video, pause this podcast and go look it up. But it's one of those like weird, like grayish, creepy crawlies that sometimes comes up a drain pipe or like appears in your garage. It's like attracted to moisture. And like, honestly, like you can't really say that a silverfish is a pest that needs to be exterminated for. I don't know really what attracts them, but they're not really like pests in the same sense as like a bed bug or a cockroach would be. So I had a princessy tenant who happened to find one silverfish in her unit. And then 2 weeks later, so she complained about that. And then 2 weeks later, she found a second silverfish. And, you know, I picked up the phone and was like, okay, well, like send me a picture of the creature, which she did. And then I then out of due diligence, sent the picture of the silverfish to my exterminator and was like, okay, what should we do about this? And the exterminator's like, well, look, this is a humidity bug. Basically, like, don't do anything about it. You don't need to exterminate for that. It's just going to go away. And it's probably a period of the year where it's humid. And if you live on the ground floor, well, some of that's kind of normal. So then my exterminator gives this professional advice. But then the tenant was so freaked out by the silverfish that what does she do? She calls the city. And in her complaint to the city, she says that there are bugs in my apartment and I want you to force the landlord to act. So then my landlord received a letter by bailiff with that $10,000 fine threat that if within 1 week we did not do a full extermination of fumigation of the whole building, that they would receive a $10,000 fine. And so then for two silverfish, I had to go and execute a extermination for over $1,000 for a silverfish, which is a animal that you don't actually treat for. The city inspector did not show up. When I tried to explain and provide the exterminator report to them, they wanted to hear nothing. All they wanted was to see a bill that we had done the extermination. And so if you put that kind of reaction next to the fact that when a tenant is up to something that they're not supposed to be up to, there's really a totally different set of rules that put themselves into force. And, you know, just anecdotally, like the owner of that building is a rather an old person. And, you know, for them, sometimes these situations can be stressful. Is there a social worker who accompanies the bailiff to me to make sure who is the owner of that building and what kind of psychological difficulty does this sort of action put them into? Well, there's like absolutely nothing like that. And so, you know, there's just like a certain amount of frustration that goes with seeing that there is really this system that exists that works on two speeds and really does not hold people accountable for their actions in any meaningful way. And that then those of us who, you know, are competent and who end up having to sort out these issues end up having to compensate for everybody else with our time, our resources, and, you know, our money, our energy, and to try to get stuff done in a situation, in a system that's really like not helping us to do it. So if there's any CTA, you know, it would be to go and vote in your next municipal election, then perhaps share some of the clips of this episode so that people are just aware of some of the stuff that's going on. And, you know, I will end also with like another pain point that's very common to those of us in the inner circle in real estate. And so, you know, anecdotally, I'm trying to build an extension on my home, and that extension includes a additional unit. And it has been trumpeted high and far and wide that Canada is in a housing crisis. Montreal is in a housing crisis. We don't have enough units, we're not building enough. And so as a result, the cost of housing is skyrocketing and a lot of families do not have anywhere to go and live. But now the plans for that unit have been snarled at the city for the last 6 months. I have now had the person who manages that file change 4 times. They have requested all sorts of different documentation from the shade report at the equinoxes in June and in December to see how the shadow of my proposed addition will cast shadow on the neighbor. And then requiring 3D drawings of every single aspect of the outside of the house and being dissatisfied with the fact that if I build the extension on top of a garage versus if I build the extension on top of some other sort of thing, I then have to get rid of my parking lot and then that has to be turned into green space because blah, 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 blah. And then you just see that the folk devil of this discussion is always apparently the landlords who are raising rent and there are families outside every July and like, you know, how evil is the whole real estate investor population? And then you compare that with the fact that for people who are actually trying to build, and like, this is just the extension on my home. I have friends who are developers who have had their projects struggle for 3 years with city approval in supposedly a housing crisis where we need to be building and it's impossible to get anything approved by the people at City Hall. And, you know, Lord knows, it seems like they have some sort of staffing problem. If for my small project, 4 times the person in 6 months has changed who's looking after the file, I hardly think that this is a paragon of efficiency. And if we are looking for, you know, scapegoats or some sort of a locus of responsibility for what's going on in housing, I think that we need to look a little bit further than the landlords and real estate investors who, like, you know, a lot of us property managers are actually trying to do a decent job and to solve problems that tenants are facing. And if it's just so difficult and Kafkaesque and ridiculous for us to try to solve these kind of problems that are facing us, because at every corner, you know, the bureaucracy and the system is coming in and making life difficult for us just to do things that are common sense. Like, you can't have 200 birds in your unit and think that you can just continue to live peacefully when you are bringing pests into the building. And you also can't think that because you find 2 silverfish in your unit, the owner should get a $10,000 fine. I mean, these are just completely ridiculous kind of situations in which you find yourself. And so I don't like to use this podcast as a platform for venting and, you know, airing my grievances on these matters. But I just think that very often most people don't actually know what's going on and haven't seen some of these nonsensical things, you know, take place around us and realize that this is the situation. Every time there's an article in the news or, you know, some show on TV or a TikTok meme that goes out about families who have no place to live, there is no real corresponding message from the people who are trying to handle some of these problems, who are beset on all sides by bureaucratic inconsistencies and double standards that really prevent us from trying to up the standard in which, you know, some of the buildings are currently being kept. And I don't also want to plug a potentially my upcoming book, but I'm going to be releasing a book in the near future on this topic, because I think that these are some of the stories that just would do well to have a wider audience and to counterbalance some of the popular narratives that are out there about, you know, what it is that's causing the housing crisis and what are some of these policies that have their well-meaning at the start, but then end up having unintended consequences that ultimately make everybody suffer. So, real estate fan, I hope that I have not used up too much of your valuable time with my rant. If you think that somebody would profit from hearing this, hopefully your local councilman, your municipal politician, anybody who should see this and just realize like the nonsensical positions into which they're putting those of us who are trying to keep order on the ground, please go ahead and do it. And until next time, real estate fan.
The second exciting thing is that we still have a few more coaching spots available in our next cohort. If you would like to have a little bit more help closing on that next property, please go ahead and fill out the contact form on equitybuildersclub.com and we would be happy to jump on a call and explain to you a little bit more about what we do.
Thank you for listening to the Real Escape Investing Podcast. I'm your host, Terry Schauer. If you find that this show has been useful to you, if you've enjoyed the content, if it's done anything to move the needle for you, please go ahead and share it with one person who you think could profit from listening to it. Until next time, real estate fans.